Hurricane Dorian slowly heads toward the coast of Florida after wreaking havoc in the Bahamas. Plus, Chinese telecom giant Huawei accuses the U.S. of cyber attacks.
There's little doubt that this is Huawei trying to sort of reclaim the narrative a little bit, push back on some of the allegations around IP theft that have dogged it for a while, and try to sort of assert some control over the story a bit.
And stocks tumble on weak manufacturing data and continuing trade tensions between the U.S. and China. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Let's start with the latest on Dorian. The hurricane was downgraded to a Category 2 storm on Tuesday after battering the Bahamas and is headed toward the Florida coast. Dorian's path has been difficult to predict, but the latest forecasts project it will approach Florida's coastline late Tuesday before turning north. The Wall Street Journal's Ariane Campo Flores has more from Melbourne Beach on the central Florida coast.
Florida is now outside of the cone of uncertainty for the storm to make landfall. So it's highly likely that the storm will not make landfall, but that doesn't mean that large portions of the Florida coast won't experience strong winds, significant rainfall, the possibility of flooding. Emergency management officials are urging people to still heed warnings, be attentive to what the forecast is, and obviously abide by any evacuation orders that are in place. There are about 12 counties in Florida that have mandatory evacuation orders in place, several others that have voluntary evacuation orders. And so residents are basically hunkering down and, you know, waiting for the storm to pass, which so far has not been the monster that many feared it would be as it approached the Florida coast.
Dorian made landfall in Grand Bahama Island on Sunday night as a Category 5 storm after battering the Abaco Islands. The storm is being blamed for the deaths of at least five people in the Bahamas and for severely damaging or destroying as many as 13,000 homes. U.S. stocks took a dive on Tuesday after new data showed contraction in the U.S. factory sector in August for the first time in 3 years. The report from the Institute for Supply Management comes after similar global reports pointing to weaknesses in the factory sectors of other nations amid continued trade talks between the U.S. and China. The latest round of tariffs between the two countries took effect on Sunday. U.S. stocks fell on Tuesday, following suit with global markets. The Dow and the Nasdaq each fell more than 1%. The S&P 500 fell 0.7%. The U.S. Coast Guard has suspended the search for survivors from a diving boat that burned and sank off the coast of California on Monday morning. Authorities have recovered 20 bodies, and another 14 passengers are presumed dead. The cause of the fire, which broke out while passengers were sleeping below deck, is still under investigation. Five crew members, including the captain, were able to escape. It's one of the worst maritime disasters in recent years. Walmart has announced it will stop selling ammunition for assault-style rifles and handguns. The decision comes after two deadly shootings in Walmart stores last month. The company had stopped selling assault-style rifles in 2015 and last year raised the minimum age to buy guns or ammunition to 21 after the deadly mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida. British lawmakers will vote Tuesday on whether to block Prime Minister Boris Johnson from an abrupt split with the European Union without a Brexit deal. The UK is currently set to exit the EU on October 31st, but opposition and rebel lawmakers are seeking another extension. For our full Brexit coverage, including the results of Tuesday's vote, please check back on our website, WSJ.com, and be sure to listen to the AM edition of What's News on Wednesday. Chinese telecom giant Huawei is accusing the U.S. of cyber attacks and threatening its staff. Huawei made the accusations in a press release on Tuesday. Joining me now from Hong Kong with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Strumpf. Dan, can you tell us what exactly Huawei is accusing the U.S. of doing, and did they provide any evidence?
Sure. So Huawei laid out a number of charges in its press release against the U.S. today. Among them, they've accused the U.S. of conducting cyber attacks on its networks, of ordering law enforcement to intimidate, visit, incite Huawei employees, They accused the U.S. in one instance of U.S. agents of impersonating Huawei employees as a sort of ploy to get more information. And they've also accused the U.S. of drumming up old civil cases that Huawei has sort of defended over the years and sort of reinventing them as criminal cases. These are specifically IP theft claims that have sort of dogged Huawei over the years, but that in many cases Huawei has settled. So in some cases, it's a combination of new charges and sort of old claims that Huawei has made against the U.S. But what's interesting is the way that the company has sort of packaged them all together in what's really a very kind of aggressive counterpunch to the U.S., which, you know, has gone after Huawei quite aggressively over the last year. Now, what Huawei didn't do was give much in the way of evidence for these claims. It sort of laid them out in a very point-by-point fashion, but some of the more explosive allegations didn't have a lot of evidence to back them up. I think if you sort of dig deeply through the record, through the historical record, you'll find that many of those claims that Huawei has made do actually have some historical backing to them, but they were not really laid out so clearly in that press release today.
And this comes after the Wall Street Journal reported that U.S. prosecutors are investigating allegations of intellectual property theft by Huawei. I'm wondering if Tuesday's press release from Huawei is being seen as retaliatory in nature?
Well, for sure, this is their response to that story, no doubt. Among the other episodes that Huawei addressed in its press release was it issued yet another denial of stealing intellectual property, specifically one case that we referred to in our story, in which a Portuguese multimedia producer accused Huawei of stealing smartphone camera technology that he claims to have developed. He's now being sued by Huawei, and our story touched on some of those charges and laid out how the U.S. is investigating those charges on a sort of criminal level, and Huawei is pretty aggressively denying that it stole that technology. So there's little doubt that this is Huawei trying to sort of reclaim the narrative a little bit, push back on some of the allegations around the IP theft that have dogged it for a while, and try to sort of assert some control over the story a bit.
We've also reported extensively on U.S. efforts to block Huawei in America, and it's become a big sticking point in trade talks between the U.S. and China. How is this latest incident likely to impact those wider talks and, more generally speaking, tensions between the U.S. and China over Huawei?
Well, the whole sort of Huawei episode has put the company in the middle of those trade talks, no doubt. The company is finding itself as sort of a pawn in the broader negotiations. I mean, you know, President Trump has said himself that, you know, he might be willing to sort of roll back some restrictions on Huawei if it meant a better trade deal. Beijing, for its part, has said that a rollback on some of the U.S.'s restrictions on Huawei is sort of a prerequisite for any broader trade deal. A deepening investigation by the U.S. against Huawei over issues like trade secret theft, IP theft, would no doubt make a trade deal harder, not easier, and would sort of further aggravate China as the U.S. tries to negotiate a trade deal. So it definitely seems like the Huawei issue is likely to be a roadblock for a while for both sides.
Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Strumpf joining me via Skype from Hong Kong. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you.
And now, a story on efforts to attract more women to economics professions. The American Economic Association says it's implementing new rules forbidding employers from interviewing job candidates in hotel rooms during the group's annual conference. It's part of AEA's water efforts to attract more women to the profession and address what former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, who is the group's current president, has called the profession's, quote, reputation for hostility toward women and minorities. Our reporter David Harrison says there's been something of a groundswell among economists hoping to do a better job.
There was a Fed paper a couple years ago that found that women make up a very small share of the total number of econ majors. More than half of today's undergraduates are women, and I think it's about a third only of the country's econ majors are women. And so that was something they felt they needed to address. There was also a survey that the AEA did earlier this year that found that a lot of women said that they just didn't feel that they were well-respected in the profession. They felt that their papers and their arguments and their ideas were getting dismissed out of hand, and you know, people were paying more attention to their male colleagues than they were paying to them.
The AEA's annual conference, which is part academic conference and part job fair, is held in January. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.